Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Yes, sir. This is Speak It Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Nas Radio. And today I'm joined again by the Tuesday co-host, Mr. Craig Barton. How you doing, sir?
All right, how's it going?
Oh, everything is good, man. We've been waiting on this for a while, man. I know you're a big college football fan. So we finally got it started. We got to see if some of the rankings were worth anything. But before we get into the big-time teams, man, I want to spend some time on that Miami-Florida State game, man. Were you impressed by Mr. Harris, the quarterback of Miami?
I was impressed by both, man, to be honest with you.
Ponder as well?
Yeah, both teams really look good, man. I remember watching the game last year, and the overall team, both teams, they improved a lot this last year. I can tell on the field that the level of play was that much higher than when it was last year, and quarterback play improved drastically.
And would you say that was a talent thing, or was that just a talented kids that needed time to get a little better?
It's the latter of what you just said there. I think it's just kids who needed some experience. And the stage was probably maybe a little bit too big for some of those kids last year. And I think they needed time to get their feet wet, in college football and make some plays. You know? Beyond that,
yeah.
Learn to make plays.
Yeah, I think, the quarterback play was so big that it kind of overshadowed the play of the running back Cooper for Miami. That running back Cooper looked really good, man, running the ball, catching, even on some returns.
Hey, I'm with you on that. And plus, I think it was I'm not sure what year that guy is. I'm not sure if it was last year or the year before. But Edrin James, I think his nephew, is on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Edrin James said Cooper was a better back than his nephew.
Hey, why lie, man? You know what I mean? When it's obvious like that, don't be that person who tries to spit something just for family and saying, one guy's better just because you're related to him. If the guy's clearly better, he's clearly better. I mean, he showed it yesterday. He was breaking tackles, getting out in open space. And, it wasn't like he was making a lot of moves. He was making his decision, and he would cut, and that was it.
Speaking of backs, man, about the Virginia Tech Alabama game.
Mm-hmm.
Ingram kid is a beast.
The kid Ingram from Alabama?
Beast.
Yeah, he is. What did you think of the young V-Tech backs, though? They got a lot of speed back there.
That one kid with the dreadlocks, man, I think his name was Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He played pretty decent, man. But, that Ingram kid, man, he's gonna be a load, man. That guy was running, looking up folks, man. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
he was looks like he injured himself a little bit there too at the end of that ball game, but he was really looking to truck folks in that game.
Yeah. What's his name? Brandon Spikes is going to have a tough matchup with him in Atlanta at the end of the season.
I don't think so. last year, we saw what they could do. Brandon Spikes ain't running.
Oh, it looks like they're running some of you guys' stuff, too, man. Alabama's opened it up.
Yeah, they opened it up, but they didn't run that. They got stuffed every time they tried to run that Wildcat offense.
Well, just the fact that they're showing it, though,
That ain't Florida's offense, man.
Just little slight variations on things. I mean, it's different from the old Nick Saban, eye form, punch you in the mouth type of offense. So, you know what I mean? It was just a little things, something to shake things up. Now, on to the big surprise of the weekend, Oklahoma going down. And not only losing arguably the best quarterback in the land, I say arguably because there's definitely two other guys who could have a say in that. But also losing the best tight end in the country. He had surgery, knee surgery, and the word is he's out for the year.
I heard two different stories on that today. I saw the story broke, and ESPN broke it, and they're still putting that out there. But according to Bob Stoops, Stoops says that the knee surgery is kind of like exploratory, like arthroscopic.
And right.
You know, they're going to go in there, and they're going to assess what, you know, because he said basically the MRIs that they've been taking, they hadn't found any damage, so they're going to go in there, see if there's any loose bodies in the knee, like you said, some kind of, you know, like debris or whatever, and just clean it up. And if there is any kind of damage, they'll make that assessment during the arthroscopic surgery. But basically he says that it could be like some loose stuff in the knee that Carlos broke off. But they didn't say nothing about him being out for the surgery because if it's just for the season, if it's just arthroscopic surgery, that could be something he's back in a couple of weeks, especially if the arthroscopic surgery does not find any major or structural damage in the knee.
Yeah, that's why I love today's sports world. I got the same information you got earlier today, but 20 minutes ago on the crawl on ESPN, that's what they're reporting now. They're reporting now that it's out for the season. So
yeah,
really hard to say whether that's going to be, you know, that's going to be what it is, but that's the latest information.
If he's out, let's be real, man. They lost that one game. It's going to be a hard climb for them to get back in the championship. They have a lot of breaks. Not to say that they can't do it, but let's be real. If Oklahoma is everything Oklahoma is really cracked up to be, obviously if Bradford comes back, the chances improve greatly. But the tight end is going to be a loss. But if Oklahoma is Oklahoma and they've got tons of athletes, like everybody's saying, should be able to overcome that loss of the tight end.
Yeah, but they couldn't overcome it this weekend. And to tell the truth, they were matched when Bradford was out there for a whole half. So
yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
People are like, hey, they put up 7 points, man. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, the wide receivers that they had last year, they're breaking in a new set, plus that tight end is not there. Maybe a lot
plus
of the
O-line.
Yeah, the O-line too. Yep, yeah, they lost some players on the O-line, but yeah, they kind of let BYU make plays, and you know that kind of thing. Once you don't come out and really, if a team is that much lesser of an opponent, if you let them hang around, they build up confidence. That you could see it coming during that game. I remember at the end of the half, I think Oklahoma had a chance to take the lead in that ball game, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And, shoot, I was like, it's looking like it might be that kind of thing. And I saw when the BYU took the lead late in the second half. I said, man, it's going to be an upset, especially when Bradford was knocked out. You know, the writing was on the wall.
Right, they took care of business, man. Clean hit. The guy just finished the play. Nothing dirty about it. Just landed bad, and, you know, it's part of football. There's really nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, it was a good hit. Bradford, hey, man, I know he's got to be thinking about, hey, man, sitting here in college and getting hurt, playing, not making any money, had a chance to come out.
He could be starting for Detroit next week. You see, Detroit Lions have named Matt Stafford the starter. But he could be in Detroit right now starting.
And that's a big mistake.
No, I think the same thing. I don't even understand it. I think they're kind of getting a little drunk off the Matt Ryan story out there, thinking, okay, he can be our new Matt Ryan. But no, Stafford was always a guy who made bad decisions and probably needed, you know, a little more seasoning. So, and you got Dante on the roster, so it's like, why not use him to take this punishment before that line is built up anyway?
Well, I think Dante played better than Matt. Matt made a few bigger plays all also made a lot more mistakes. I think I think basically it's like this, man. Detroit, we all know, 0-16, man. Yeah, they don't have really much to look forward to. They can go nowhere but up. But I put it to you this way. If you start the young quarterback, right,
mm-hmm.
let's say you get out the gate slow, what do the fans of Detroit have to look forward then?
If you start off slow and he doesn't look that good, and now you have to go to the idea of putting Dante back in, I mean, it's
not a good look. To me, it would have been a better look if you temper the expectations, come out there, you start Culpepper. Even if you start out slow, Matt Stafford can still progress. He can, he can get his feet under him a little bit. The game is going to be so much faster at this level. I'm sure he's seen in the preseason. It's just going to intensify that much more than when the five bullets are firing.
Let me dot that point you just made, especially in the preseason. Preseason, he's one touchdown, four interceptions so far. I don't know how you win a starting job with that, but just wanted to interject that.
Yeah, I don't know why they gave him the starting job either. I mean, to me, Dante Culpepper looks like he played better. I'm not saying it was miles ahead of better than Matt Stafford, but it was obvious to me just from the statistics that Culpepper played the better ball. I think it didn't help Culpepper the fact that he was hurt there at the end of the preseason.
Right.
That may have played a factor in them making the decision.
You're making it harder, too, with him as far as the locker room, too, because he's got such a big burden on his shoulders as far as Matt Stafford. And if he does struggle, how he handles it in front of the veterans is going to mean a lot. But it's a situation to where he didn't have to go through it. You're forcing him to go through it, and you might not like what you get.
It would have been better for both parties if you start Culpepper out. And like I said, if they do start slow, you have something, a little card to play there, either whether it's the middle of the season or the end, something for the fans to come out and look forward to. I mean, they really come out there slow with Matt Stafford. Like I said, it's going to be kind of hard to sell themselves this year after coming off that 0-16. If they start out 0-3, 0-4, it's going to be very difficult, especially playing the young quarterback right off the bat. It's going to be very, very difficult for them.
True indeed. I guess we can get back to college. I didn't want to go in the NFL, but the Detroit Lions, hey, they force you to do that sometimes. We haven't got a chance to be on since the Boise State kid was punched in the face by the Oregon player at the end of the game. The kid from Oregon suspended for the season. He's allowed to practice. He's still on scholarship, so he can finish his education and, I guess, work out with the team. No suspension at all for the Boise player. Your thoughts?
Well, obviously that kid made a mistake. One kid, Garrett Blunt. Hey, whether he was provoked or not, how it's going to be looked upon, man. So, get suspended for the season. I didn't think it would come to that, man, but I guess when it's the only game on, like they said, it was sportsmanship week, and it was the only game on, all eyes on that broadcast. It made it look that much worse, though.
Yeah, I think it was the stands, the arguing with the people in the stands part that pushed it over.
Yeah,
I think that's what made them go so heavy on it. I think it's too harsh a penalty. He definitely deserved to serve a penalty, but I think it's too harsh a penalty. But once you start things with the fans, man, hey, anything can happen. So I'm sure they just wanted to nip it in the bud after that. But people in the crowd said they played the incident on the Jumbotron back to back to back. So it kind of incited the crowd. So there's no telling what people in the crowd were yelling at the man.
Oh, you could tell. They showed a little clips. There was some four-letter words going back.
Most definitely. But if you play that on the Jumbotron, that's the reaction you're going to get. So, I mean, the reality of it is, no matter what, you're a grown man. You should know enough to somebody saying something to you. You shouldn't let your emotions override you. But, yeah, it's definitely a mistake. But I'm just surprised Boise State's not doing anything, because that kid deserves some type of penalty, too, just because you don't do stuff like that. The game is over. You won. Even if somebody was talking before the game, you know, you give them a look, you shake their hand, and you move on. There's no need to tap somebody and, you know what I mean, keep talking to them. You know, it's a very emotional thing, so you never know what somebody's going to do.
I agree with you on that.
Hell, Ron Artest situation started from a damn thrown cup of beer. So, I mean, you never know how small action can result in such a big, big, big way. So, I don't know. Maybe Boise will do something later, because, I mean, a lot of other people feel the same way, feel like there should be something against the guy. But we'll have to see. Who are you most impressed with first week of college football?
Well, I was impressed with the way Miami and Florida State looked. They looked pretty good compared to where they were last year.
Right.
But
that one is like you were expecting like a – you're expecting a four game, and you end up getting like an eight. So it's like, you know, the surprise factor definitely plays a lot. Who did you see that you thought, okay, they definitely got a shot to get to the big game?
Well, kind of hard when some of these teams didn't really play, you know, tough competitions to see how they stack up. Alabama's obviously in there. Their quarterback play was much better than I didn't really see the kid or really know much about him.
Mm-hmm.
Get his name. But he played pretty solid. If they get that kind of play out of him, I mean, Alabama could be right in there with everybody.
Right. And for him to play like that in the Georgia Dome is such a big game. You know, it's not week one at junior college Valley State, so you know that definitely means something. But we'll see if he can do that again in Atlanta in the big SEC game. Your thoughts on Georgia, sir? We are in Atlanta. gotta speak about the two locals. Tech look great. They do what they do, running that option. Beat up a team they were supposed to beat up. Georgia, on the other hand, scored on the first drive and struggled for the rest of the game, and Joe Cox looked like he couldn't get the ball out of there, like on his drops. He looked like he couldn't get it out of there. He's holding it. Were you impressed by Georgia, or do you feel like Georgia's had a bad game, or you think they're bottom of the barrel SEC, or?
Well, I think Georgia eventually is going to be they eventually be better than what they showed. It's kind of hard to say if they're going to be a contender. This was one game. They came out and they looked pretty good on that first drive, but pretty much the rest of the ball game, it was a complete collapse on offense.
Yeah.
Defensively, they were still pretty decent.
I mean, defensively, they did their job. I mean, they were getting stops against, you know, one of the best offenses out there. They were doing what's needed. But, I mean, you only give so many possessions to a good offense. They're going to score. So,
we'll see how Atlanta shakes out. We'll see how, I mean, how Georgia shakes out.
But Tech, like I said, Tech looked pretty good, though.
Well,
I mean,
Jacksonville State.
Yeah, and your boy from LSU was suspended for the first game.
Yeah. Fairlou, not surprising.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with that guy, but He was not there. It's a problem if you're a major, if you're a quarterback at a major school and you, you know, for whatever circumstances, you end up having to go to a small school. If you're at that small school and you're not putting up numbers, yeah, that's a big red flag. So, I mean, I don't know where the guy goes from here.
He's gonna go somewhere. He obviously ain't gonna get drafted too high.
Right. I guess we can get into some NFL, man. Andre Woodson was cut by the Giants when they had to get the roster down to 53, and the Redskins picked him up immediately.
Redskins.
And now the Giants are accusing the Redskins of using him to get all of their calls and audibles and snap counts and everything else. Is that just part of the game? And are the Giants crying? Or
hey, if they really wanted to keep the kid, they should have put him on the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
Protect him in some kind of way. Don't cry when you release the kid. See, that way he's got a right to work. And if someone wants to employ him, then so be it. What's it to cry about? If you really wanted the kid on your team, find a way to put him on your roster somehow.
Yeah, I agree. And another question, if you are in that position that Woodson is in and the team calls you in, when they start asking for different things, do you immediately call your agent and say, look, I want a two-year deal and we can talk about this? Or is it pretty much take what you're given and go and give the info up?
Well, I'd say pretty much this. It's a case of the organization cut you. If they do have something to offer you, in some way, shape, or form, then that would be the appropriate time to discuss that. If they say practice squad, you're not willing to do that, then you walk. But if they give you – that would be the opportunity for the team to discuss what options they have available if they really want you to be a member of their club. Once all ties are severed and they say, hey, if there's an injury or something, all bets are off, If they
right.
want to come back later on down the road, that man has the right to make a living. There's no use in crying about anything unless you think – I mean, at the end of the day, if they were really worried about that and wanted to keep him, then you keep him on the club, on your club, right? I mean, if you let somebody go and you're hoping to bring him back later on down the road, all bets are off. It doesn't matter. It doesn't
right.
matter who you feel, if Washington did something or whatever. It doesn't matter. You cut him. They picked him up. If you really wanted him to be a part of your club, you would have figured out a way to get it done, whether practice squad, or what have you.
Right, and if you feel like he has enough information to hurt you, like you said, keep him around then. Don't let it happen. New England, once again, Belichick is, I don't know if he got the direct line to Al Davis or what's going on, man, but he keeps getting this dude with good trades, man. So he got him again this time, it looks like. Richard Seymour traded for a first rounder in 2011, which could, essentially be the first year of a cap for rookie salaries. And, that's all speculation. Could happen, could not. But either way, they got a first rounder for Richard Seymour from the Raiders. Is this a thing of the same old Al Davis, or do you think maybe there's a chance that he'll give them something in the 1 year that I guess he'll be out there? Because they thought they had something long-term, but it looks like he doesn't want to sign that.
Well, it depends on what kind of year he has. I mean, the Al Davis is risky for him because he made the trade without negotiating with the player before pulling the trigger on the trade. So, basically, you got this player for 1 year. Not going to pay for it next year, but down the road in 2011, you could pay for it. And it could be a very valuable pick. You don't know what's going to be out there in 2011. And I guess basically the way they look at it, they've invested so much in these first round picks, it ain't gonna matter if they lose one down the road anyway. So you got Jamarcus Russell side the big money, you got McFadden, you got the
new rookie,
you got Robert Gallery making money. I mean, you've invested a lot. You've got Michael Huff. I mean, you go over those draft picks that they've had multiple years, man. They're paying people a lot of money. So it doesn't matter for them to waste another pick, but it's a risky decision, because if that pick is something like an Adrian Peterson, make Al Davis look even worse. So, you have to wait and see what comes down to it, especially if Seymour doesn't come back with your ball club next year. If he doesn't sign or renegotiate contract for him to come back, basically you gave away a player for a high first round draft pick.
The sad part will be if he doesn't sell his home, plays the season out in Oakland, then signs with New England next year. That'll be the sad part. They'll give him a first rounder for a 1 year rental, which could easily happen as the Raiders. But that's the other thing about pro football, with the way everything works. There's parity in the NFL, but if you're a bad team year in and year out and you're drafting that high, then you're going to be overpaying at just about every position, and your cap is going to be bad and your talent is going to be bad if they don't pan out, and it's hard to get out of that. And that's kind of what the Raiders are stuck in now. Because like the guys you just named, I mean, Huff, he's being paid way more than his position would be needed unless you're elite. Gallery couldn't play tackle. They had to move him a guard. Now you're paying a guard crazy money. Jamarcus Russell hasn't panned out yet. McFadden, we're still waiting to see. This will be his second year, so we'll see. So you've essentially handcuffed your team. So, I mean, it's hard to come out of what they've set in motion.
Yeah, but, I mean, Al Davis has been known to make some silly decisions, man. I mean, he's probably the laughing stock of the league by now. So, I mean, it's a risky move, but yeah, I understand why they kind of made that deal. I kind of understand it. Because they really don't have a lot of interior help on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
They needed to do something. Drastic as this was, it's better than the way they were going. Because you can't really name any. I can't really name anybody on that damn Oakland defensive line.
Yeah, the line's not there. Yeah, it's not. It's definitely not a household name line. I know that the one guy who they re-signed to the, huge deal, the defensive tackle. But
yeah,
I can't even think his name right now.
But they basically said they gave him more money than anybody out there on the free market. He was a backup, and they overpaid for that guy. So I don't know. That guy, it's been like, it's going to be, 2 years now? I really can't tell you much of what he's done since he got that deal. So your guess is as good as mine. I have no idea.
He showed Al something in practice, man. Al liked the cut of the kid's chin, man. Something, I don't know.
Yes, I have no idea. They got some decent guys on there, man, but they gave away Burgess. I really don't know what they've got. What is the cat from Milwaukee? Not Milwaukee. The cat from Dallas. Greg Ellis.
Yeah.
They got. I think Corey Redding. They got Corey Redding, I believe.
I'm not sure about that, but yeah, that line is definitely hurting. And that Burgess situation, I'm starting to wonder if Burgess Randy Moss his way out of Oakland last year by just not playing up to what he's capable of, to the point where he got sick of him and moved him, same way Randy did.
Well, they say Belichick reached out, man, and they worked something out. Basically, they came right back. Al came right back and gave the Patriots an offer they couldn't refuse on Seymour.
Mm.
As much as Bill didn't want to do it, the first round pick in 2011 was too much to pass up for.
Yeah, you got to do it, Al. It's gold. Gotta take it when you got the chance. Now, on to a story for the weird. You've been keeping up with 24/7, Mayweather and Marquez?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that.
Okay. I missed the last one, so I don't know if this is aired yet, but I've seen this on TV today. In one segment, Marquez drinks his own urine because he doesn't want to lose any protein from his body.
I don't know about that, man. I didn't see nothing like that.
I was on PCI today. They showed him drinking it the whole nine, man.
That was on there? Nah, I didn't know anything about that, man.
It was on PTI today, man. This dude drank his own urine, man.
I mean, if he's scared about losing protein, isn't he the same urine he's going to drink? He's going to have to urinate again? And to me, isn't that waste? It's your body's waste. So
that's what I thought.
Oh, man, I don't know, man. Sounds kind of crazy to me.
So is this crazy good in the sense that this dude is going to do anything, he's so focused that he's not even thinking right, or is this crazy bad that he's so nervously scared that he's taking on any suggestions from anybody?
I don't know. That's crazy. I've never heard anything like that in any stage of sports.
Exactly. I've heard of all kind of crazy training regimens or crazy training ideas or things that'll keep you going. I've never heard anybody say something that's stupid or try something that's stupid. But yeah, if you look online now, you'll be able to see it, man. They got a little clip of it. They played a little clip on PTI. Guy's sitting there with a cup. He can barely take it down. You know, he's gagging a little bit, but he does it. He's focused, man.
That's crazy, man. I've never heard of anything like that. I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, listen, man, even if you were training somebody like, man, it's going to help you out, I would still find hard-pressed. How do you even try to even attempt to do that in the first place? even though he said that, how does one go about attempting that anyway in the first place?
Oh, man, I have no idea, man. You'll see, like I said, you'll see the clip, man. It's disgusting, man. He's sitting there with a plastic cup, like a regular little kegger cup or something, and he just starts downing it, man. Hopefully, we'll find out later on it was a joke or something for publicity. I don't know.
I hope so. I've never heard of that, man. Any form, stage of athletic training. So I don't know. That's crazy.
We'll see, man. You know, the NBA draft Hall of Fame class is going in. You know, there's David Robinson, John Stockton, Michael Jordan, Jerry Sloan, and I want to say Vivian Stringer.
Yeah, yeah.
But Michael Jordan picked David Thompson as the person to open the door for him as far as walking up during the ceremony. And he said it's because that was his inspiration, and that was who he looked up to. I can't find any real good footage of David Thompson. I found little small clips of him at NC State, but most of the footage I find for him is professional.
I think that there was a story about him dunking on a 12-foot rim.
Yeah, that's the word. And he's about 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see it. I mean, shoot. What'd you expect, Connie Hawkins?
No, honestly, I expected Dean Smith.
Oh, Dean Smith.
I was a little surprised that he picked David Thompson to do it.
Oh, man, Dean Smith's a coach, man. I can see if he said mentor in life, he'd probably pick Dean Smith. But if you're talking about another athlete, an athlete that you looked up to help pave the way for you to do what you do, it's always an athlete.
Right.
Always somebody else.
I don't think it was a question of what athlete you want to bring up. It was just what person. And I guess usually people – bring their coach up there, you know, the coach they're most closest to. So, a little shocking that he didn't bring Dean up, but you know, it's still interesting to know that there, you know, at a time there was a young Michael Jordan, and there was a guy that he looked up to on the poster that he wanted to be. So definitely interesting little small story. So looking at the NFL schedule, have you made any week one picks, or you made any picks for college?
Nah, we made a couple of picks last week. Won a little bit of money, but nothing to talk about.
What do you mean by that, sir? Sounds like you're trying to get at something.
A little small side bet. But not too many picks, not too many games. Maybe make a bet on Ohio State this week. We'll have to see what's coming. I know somebody that you know that really likes to bet on the Ohio State, the Big Ten. So
just to put this out there, just for the record of the show, right now I'm very surprised at how humble this guy is being right now, because honestly, I picked two underdogs this weekend against Mr. Barzy. Mr. Barzy won both bets. I give him that. He won those bets. And now he's starting to, as you heard, try to reel me in on another Ohio State-USC game. He knows I'm a Midwest dude. I try to ride with the Big Ten. So he's trying to pull me in. But, sir, I'm not going for it this year. I'm not taking the Ohio State. I'm not taking it. I'm not doing it this year.
Really?
They win or lose, it's on their own. They're not involving my wallet with the Buckeyes this year.
But you big on Terrell Pryor, though. I thought you said this guy was second coming to Vince Young now.
It sounds good again. Like right now, it sounds better, but still, not going for it this year, man. Those guys have gone into my wallet too many times the last couple of years.
And sir,
I'm not betting on the Buckeyes in a big game.
Sir, what happened in those bets for the users that don't remember, recall, happened in those bets?
Hey, I give it to you. You got those games. I give it to you. But it doesn't matter. By the time the NFL season is over, I'll be up on you. And then when the college basketball starts, I'll really be up. So just bide my time.
How many bets for the audience out there? Ohio State basketball, football. Can you go over those bets?
Nah, I don't think it's good taste to discuss those bets, sir. I'll leave those in the past. We'll Mark McGuire those, man.
All right, man.
No reason to talk about the past on that one. What other stories, man? Did you see out there, or any news that you wanted to really get into?
Well, just college football season kicking off, the new NFL season. I guess you could talk about your boy Sean Marion. I don't know what the hell that knucklehead's thinking about, man.
Sean Merriman?
Yeah, man.
Oh, that idiot.
I don't know what the hell he's thinking about, man, for God's sake. Any chick that's on a reality show, man, you don't even want your name to be in the same sentence with the word dating. You know what I mean? If anything,
that's what your agent and your friends are for. Somebody's got to say something.
Yeah, man. I understand you go out and party, chick. Even break the chick off once or twice. But, man, keep. You don't even be in the same have that chick over your house talking about that, you know, he had to escape. Man, all that is just crazy, man. And to be honest with you, somebody his caliber, man, NFL type of dude, man, you know, got lots of notoriety. He should be above that kind of nonsense, man. He should know better than that. Tila Tequila, man, that bisexual chick. I mean, come on, man. You don't even want your name to be associated with dating someone like her, man. Like I'm saying, if he was gonna break off, by all means, do it. It's the same thing we had this discussion about with your boy, Belky Cabrera from the Yankees, man, and some porn star.
Right, right.
Don't want your name to be associated with that, man. Because, man, listen, if you're in the show, you in the show.
And most
how do you
definitely.
Like in the show? You get you know, a certain type of woman.
You're talking top notch, man. You're not talking about.
You don't leave that stuff for like Limp Bizkit or some, you know, one of those guys or some.
Or your third string tight end.
And even if you do scrape the bottom of the barrel like that, man, you don't make this. There's no way, like I said, you don't put your face on camera. You ain't getting caught on camera. You're gonna break it off. It's gonna be breaking off somewhere where there's nobody who can even associate you with it. You know what I mean? And for Sean Marion to put himself in that situation, man, he deserves a basic. He deserves a smack in the head, man.
Man, I can give you a little more insight into it, man, but it's a little gossip, crazy talk. So
go ahead, speak on it.
Basically, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you know who the video model Gloria Velez is.
Oh, that man, come on.
Okay, well, Gloria Velez and Merriman, you know, I guess they had some type of relationship going. And she was on Russell Simmons' website. She was a blogger on there, and she was commenting about their relationship. Once she started this blog, in the midst of this, I guess he got up with the little tequila chick, and she put on Twitter that she was staying at his house and all this other type of stuff. And then her and Gloria got into some type of arguing about it. So it turned into some real high school stuff. So anyway, after that, Gloria got on the blog, said she's not messing with Merriman anymore. And then this week, this comes out. So I guess he was still messing with the tequila chick, and he's saying she was at his house drunk trying to drive home, and he's trying to restrain her from doing that. And she's saying he put his hands on her and that she doesn't drink alcohol at all.
Yeah. Somebody I heard on the little sports show this morning, it's like she was saying she's allergic to alcohol. And buddy from the club, somebody, I guess maybe someone trying to, you know, dig into what was going on that night, that, you know, she was seen out in the club giving Merriman lap dances, whatever. It was said that someone asked one of those guys who was around, I guess maybe served her in the club, and said she was drinking. And it said if she's allergic to anything, it's the truth.
Yeah, that's kind of like one of the dumbest defenses I've heard. So I guess even though she's had this reality career, she probably doesn't have a proper agent or a little media team to help her with things, because she is, you know, they're killing it right now online. So basically people are reposting her Twitter account stuff, and they're showing her talking about drinking, her saying she's so drunk, this, that, and the other. So it's really not looking bad. I mean, looking good for her, but I guess for Sean Merriman, it looks a hell of a lot better than him choking some 4'11 chick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, right. So like you said, though, once you start scraping that bottom of the barrel, this is the type of stuff you open yourself up to.
Exactly, man. Like I said, man, Sean Marion, you gotta be better than that, man. You know, these kind of chicks, man, you shouldn't even be, you know, be seen in public with. Like I said, if you want to dip there, man. But you know what I mean? Keep your face out of public, man, where it doesn't get in public consumption, that, you know, that you doing this with XX broad, man. You know what I mean? If a chick is about no class, then what do you expect her, you know, what do you expect for her to conduct herself as in the public, man? And
right.
Especially when some incident comes up. I mean, if it is like you said, who knows, man? It could have been something to set that broad off, man. Chick probably half crazy, man. Tequila, man, come on, man.
Right. It doesn't even seem real, really, when you think about it. Just now they were playing it on FS South. They were replaying the USC 2005 game versus Fresno State. I don't know if you remember, this was the Reggie Bush video game. I think he put up 200, but he had those three long runs, including, you know, the one where he just hit the brakes on everybody.
Yeah.
This game, it's something to see now, man, watching this game.
Yeah, that was a game I tried to tell everybody, man. I mean, can you believe there were actually cats that told me that Warwick Dunn was better than Reggie Bush?
Nonsense, man.
Can you believe that?
Nonsense, man.
I was telling them right now. After that game, I was like, Reggie Bush right now could play on the Falcons ahead of anybody that they had at running back.
And they told you he wasn't up to Warwick Dunn.
He wasn't better. I could tell you the cats who said it, but you know they ain't here to defend themselves. And they probably would still try to argue their point on that. I was like, he wasn't even better than Reggie Bush when he was in college. You know,
that's true.
He wasn't even better than Reggie Bush when he was in college. There ain't no way to help, man.
True. I mean, and Warwick was a great player at Florida State. He's a great player in college, but the stuff that Bush was doing is a big difference between what Warwick Dunn did and what Bush did, and that's why that Bush game is on Classic right now, being replayed in 2009.
Yeah, man, Bush was sick, man, and I still think he's gonna be a good player in the league. Now, obviously, he's not Adrian Peterson. He's not going to truck through the line. But you've seen flashes of it, and I don't think he's too far away, man. I think when Dude hadn't just figured it out in the he tries to break too many runs outside, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he figures that out, like, you know, hey, man, I can cut through this line and I can pick up 10 to 12 yards. I can bang out probably 20, 25 rushes and still, you know, still be a productive back. On top of everything else I can add, I'll be one hell of an unstoppable player. I think when he figures that out, man, you'll see him putting up the numbers like everybody really thought he could. Because if the offensive line just, you know, halfway blocks, he could break, you know, two tackles and take it to the house at any time. But I think he tries to, you know, with the NFL, you really can't break runs outside because, you know, there's a lot of team speed, and it's really hard to run sideline to sideline in the NFL. I think he does that a little too much.
Yeah, I think Sean Payton's going to fix some of that I think he's going to play in the slot a lot more this year. Because, like you say, he tries to bounce everything outside, but if you put him in the slot to where you can get him one-on-one with anybody, it's just like running the ball, especially if you're throwing a short pass to him and you're getting him out there in space. So I think he's going to do a lot of work in the slot this year. Because in my mind, as good as Tolston is, Reggie's still the best receiver on that team.
Hey, I see the youngster from Tennessee trying to pick it up. Meacham. He's trying to pick it up. He's trying to come on too. It looks like he turned it up a little bit. I don't think he was hurt his first year in the league.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like he's bringing something to the table a little bit.
About time. They've been waiting. First rounder, I believe. Got to step up at some point. What did you think of your team, man? The Gators this week.
Ah, man, it really wasn't no competition. I mean, we'll see. I didn't really get – that was game wasn't even on TV, so.
Yeah, man, it's not about the competition, man. I take this to my UNLV 1990 running Rebels, man. It ain't about the competition. If you're the best and they got the nerve to get on the field with you, then you pound them. That's why I like that team, man. Regardless if they was playing, you know, Pacific or North Carolina, they came out to pound you. So if you're number one, put it on them. They came out there.
They put it on them. They put it on them, man. It could have been. They could have scored a lot more. They didn't cover.
What was it? 70?
Yeah, I think it was 76.
Ridiculous line. 70. Wow.
They didn't cover, so I think they won by what, 54 points, something like that.
Mm, that was the bet to take this weekend.
No, hold on. 55 points, I believe.
Yeah, that's what it's about, man. You get that sorry. Well, that team is not up to your standard out there, you pound them. Texas did the same thing.
Yeah, Texas really didn't play anybody. I'm excited about the USC game this week, man.
Ohio State struggled, sir, the first game, sir.
Who?
Ohio State had a cupcake, and they struggled.
Well, they could, like people said, they may have been looking ahead, man. You ought to know that. I mean,
the only shot they got is if that freshman gets out there and is so scared that he gives them at least two possessions. That's the only shot they got. That freshman for USC is scared out of his wits and throws the game away. Besides that, another beatdown, man. This time it's in the horseshoe. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. Don't like to see the 10 take L's, man.
Well, then I don't think you ought to watch any games this year, man.
I knew that was coming, but you know Penn State, Joe Pa. He might have a little something this year.
I doubt that, man. you saw him against USC in the Rose Bowl, man.
Yeah, it's a home game, man. It's a home game for USC. What do you mean?
I doubt they got anything for anybody either, man. They may have good enough games to probably win the Big Ten, but that's about it. About all that.
And that USC team you're talking about could have easily beaten Florida, too.
You know, people say that, man. And
hey.
It could have been a possibility, but
it's a possibility.
You'll never know.
And that's how you better keep it, because y'all been running from Trojans for a couple of years, so y'all better keep it like that.
You know what I mean? It's debatable. It's because people want you know, they don't want to see a playoff, though, you know. That's the system
right.
We got. And under the system they got, you know, if USC really wanted to play Florida, guess what? You don't use
win your game.
Oregon State. You don't lose to Oregon State. That's what you do.
Right. Yeah, all day. They didn't do their part. That's why they weren't there. So.
And, you know, looking back on it, technically at the time, you could probably say that loss to Mississippi or Florida had probably was about equal to State, but only until you really saw that Ole Miss was a better team than people gave them credit for, especially with the way they handled Texas Tech in the last year.
Well, the problem is how big the SEC championship game is. So, I mean, Florida gets to that SEC championship game, hey, that's a bigger win than anything USC could do during the year. So, no matter what, Florida had a chance to make up for their loss. USC didn't. So, that's just the way it goes. And if you do that knowing that going in, hey, you got to beat Oregon State, like you said. So, before we get out of here, man, just wanted to get your two predictions on the upcoming fights. Marquez Mayweather and Miguel Cotto, Mr. Pac-Man.
Well, going Pac-Man, and I'm going Mayweather.
Pac-Man and Mayweather?
Yeah, because something tells me the more you got in boxing, you always got to do this, man. Sniff where the most money can be made. And you can't tell me that at any time in boxing when there's been a ton of paper to be made on an anticipated fight matchup, that fight did not happen because guys lost, in a match previous. You know,
it's happened, but you got to get knocked out. You're not going to lose the decision.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If Pacquiao is going to have to knock the hell out.
Right.
I don't see that happen to Mayweather. I don't see that happening anyway, the way he fights.
Hey, the man just drunk that piss, man. I don't know.
After
drinking that piss, I might have to rethink Mr. Marquez, man.
Nah, man, he could drink all the piss he wants. He could even come drink the piss in my toilet. And I don't think that's going to help him. I don't think that's going to help him. I think Mayweather's going to probably outclass him, man, to be honest.
Yeah, I can see that happen. Even though Marquez is a great talent, he's a great fighter, I think May's going to get by on him. But hopefully Marquez will be smart and come out aggressive, because that's the only shot he has. He has to press Mayweather. He comes out there and tries to outbox him.
Listen, man.
That's a wrap.
The same thing I thought with Ricky Hatton, that he could press Mayweather. I think Mayweather, you know, his kind of – he's very skillful in counteracting somebody's game plan.
Oh yeah, he is.
I think if they're trying to make that decision that you know he's gonna come out pressing, I think it's gonna be to his detriment.
But if you don't, and you let Mayweather fight when he wants to fight, Oh, you're in for a long, boring ass whooping.
Well, I'm thinking you got to make Mayweather come to you and counterpunch, man. I think that'd be a better chance for him if he counterpunches. Make Mayweather come, walk towards him, and then counterpunch what Mayweather throws. I think that'd probably be a better fight for him.
But then you lose the benefit of the doubt with the judges as far as scoring. And
yeah,
point blank period, you're not going to beat him in just technical boxing skills, because he's gonna walk you down, he's going to throw, then he's going to walk you down, he's going to faint, step out, and he's going to come back again. Crowd will be getting antsy. Mayweather will play it up like you don't want to fight. And he'll walk out of there with the easy win, man. So, I mean, if you got the talent, you've got to try to pick your spots where you're pressing. But if you sit back and let him run the show, we've seen that before. But, hey, we'll see what he decides to do. We'll see if he decides to go with my theory where he's got to go get him, or your theory where he tries to make Mayweather come forward. We'll see.
Yeah, it's I'm not telling him not to be busy. He's gonna have to be busy, but I don't think he's gonna win any fight trying to walk down Mayweather, pressure Mayweather. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm just saying I don't see him winning. I'm thinking that's his only shot. The Cotto Pac-Man fight. Cotto has a shot if he can get inside and hit Pac-Man to the body. But like you said, hey, that's a big if. But if he can get in there and beat him up a little bit, he's got a real good chance of winning.
I think Cotto, he's going to have to cut the ring off on Pacquiao, man. Pacquiao's so busy. And, you know, I think if he catches Pacquiao with some of the shots, we were discussing this the other day, if Cotto catches Pacquiao with some of the shots he caught
Margarito
with, I don't see Pacquiao holding up too long.
Yeah, it's a good night if he catches him with that stuff.
Yeah, he was really unloading on Margarito. Margarito was just on another planet. I guess it's as good as mine what he was on, man, but he was walking through some of the hardest shots I've seen people hit with. It was just a case that he wanted to win that fight, man.
That's true. This fight scares me just because I'm going Cotto, but it scares me because usually against Pac-Man, you got somebody who's technically a better boxer than Pac-Man, and sometimes they tend to break down, but they're able to always fall back on their boxing skill. But Pac-Man is a better boxer than Cotto is, so his advantage I don't know, man. He doesn't have that advantage, you know. That's kind of dangerous with Pac-Man because you kind of might get into some wild exchanges. And if you get into that with him, he might hit you one of those from some odd angle. It might be a wrap.
It's going to be an interesting fight, man. But I just see Pacquiao, man. I think people underestimate. Pacquiao is a lot quicker to me. I'm just saying Cotto may, like I said, he's going to definitely have to try and cut the ring off on Pacquiao. I don't see him. I mean, if Pacquiao's bringing it to him, man, it may be a long fight, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pacquiao's just kind of bringing it to him. But we'll see, man. I think it's going to be a good fight. I don't see maybe Pacquiao knocking him out. But
there'll be some blood, and there'll be a knockdown or two.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think Pacquiao could really knock out the De La Hoya. God dang, man.
Well, a shot weight drain De La Hoya. I mean, not to take anything away from his accomplishment, but, you know, it is what it is.
Hey, you could say the same thing about Ricky Hatton, man. What was Ricky Hatton looked twice. He looked about as terrible as a fighter could look. And these are the two of the same fighters that Mayweather fought. And he basically outclassed them both. So, I mean,
yeah.
We'll see how Mayweather looks. But Mayweather is the kind of fighter, man. I don't believe Mayweather is just going to come out and execute a dude like a way Pacquiao can. I think Mayweather, even though he has the ability to do that, man, Mayweather just don't take chances as like some of those guys. He don't throw the leather and leave himself unguarded. He's a defensive fighter, and I think that's just what it is, man. He's just not going to give you that kind of fight.
Right. If you're one of the all-time great defenders, though, I mean, it would be stupid just to throw that away. Pac-Man, on the other hand, hell. Sometimes defensively, he's terrible, so.
Yeah. I'm not going to diss, but he takes chances. And I think a lot of people like to see that in a fight. It makes for a better fight, you know, see a guy get caught, try and battle his way back. But, you know, another defensive fighter that was real good but still took chances was Sweet Pea, man. Sweet Pea was real good defensively, and he took chances. He let his hands go.
You heard some of the same sentiment against Sweet Pea when he was on top, though, that you hear against Mayweather.
Yeah, but he wasn't the kind of – Mayweather kind of sometimes, man, even though he can outclass these dudes, man, he sometimes carries cats, man. And
mm-hmm.
he doesn't take chances, and I think it makes fights boring sometimes when he does that. But I understand why he does it, man, because like you said, he's trying to take the least amount of punishment and win a fight. And sometimes you win a fight on points, and he sometimes looks to do that, man. He doesn't really look to gut out a fight and take punishment, man, which is smart. I mean, you can say what you want to about the cat. He definitely ain't stupid. So, I mean,
right.
It's just kind of hard to say, man, because sometimes Mayweather, as much as you can see the talent is there, man, he just doesn't give that type of fight to let you know that, hey, man, he doesn't give you that type of entertaining fight to let you know that, hey, you know, he's giving you his money's worth sometimes.
Yeah, if you were to take a lump of all-time great fighters and say, okay, I'm going to show you one round of X fighter, what do you think of him? With Mayweather, it would be hard to do for you to show like one round and say, okay, this guy, he's really talented. He's one of the all-time great. It'll be really hard to convey that if you had to watch it one round, like you said, because for the most part, he's going to be fighting defensively. And sometimes when chances are there, he won't take them. So, I mean, he's one of the hardest guys to watch, man. I'll never try to argue the point that he's so exciting.
People will say, you know, Winky towards the end there, his last few fights, he let his hands go a little bit. Even though
didn't matter. He wasn't hurting anybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm
yeah.
saying. He really couldn't hurt anybody. But he got a little bit entertaining. But fights that he won, man, that's why a lot of people didn't like to watch Winky fights, man. The guy was boring, man. It's like this, man. If you're the always watching boxing fan, you appreciate
mm-hmm.
that. You know what I mean? You appreciate that kind of sweet science. But
right.
if you're like the fly by night fan who's kind of off and on, you know, watch the big fights, that type of thing, you don't like them fights, man. Maybe I'm a little bit in between those two characters I just described, but it's kind of like, man, I like to see guys pull the leather a little bit, man. Kind of mix it up. And if for the casual boxing fan and for the non-casual boxing fan, sometimes you can appreciate. I can watch that and I can appreciate it. But when you get that every time, man, especially when you know it's a cat that this dude should just blow up out of the ring. He should just walk through him, and he's carrying this joker. Makes for a boring fight.
It does, but the only other side to that I could say is that's when boxing is at its most boring. But then boxing can make itself, you know, if not the one of the most exciting sports when you got somebody in there who's at the top of their game and at any minute, any moment could take somebody out. Like when you had Roy in his prime, even when he was fighting some of those tomato cans in there, you wouldn't leave the room to go use the bathroom because you knew one shot, it might be over with. And you know what I mean? Crowd's going crazy. Anticipation is out there. You can see it in the other guy's eyes that he's being extra cautious because that one shot could end it. So, I mean, I guess that's just the good and bad of boxing, man. Some guys are going to be boring. Some guys are going to be exciting.
It's going to be some interesting fights out there, man. It's going to be some things to really look forward to, but I got to think, man, there's no way in hell that, like you said, unless one of them cats get knocked out, man, I got to think that there's no way in hell that Pacquiao and Mayweather fight doesn't happen, man.
It said if Don King got to go in the ring himself and hold somebody up.
Yeah, I don't.
He'll make sure the big fight goes down.
I don't see there's any way that fight not going down, especially if those two guys, you know, if they make it to decisions, man. I see some shady stuff maybe going down, man, to make that fight. So.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, man. Well, this has been Speaking Like You're Thinking Radio. I'm your host, Nas Radio, along with college football expert, among other things, Mr. Craig Barzee.
Check us out next week. Don't forget the world-class betting champion.
Oh, I didn't hear that part, sir. Excuse me. Get at us next week, man. Yep. Yeah.